Hi, it's Tiffany Lorraine Galloway, certified high performance coach with another episode of the Resilient Mother podcast. We are on the subject of mastering your unique resilience. This is all the information that we have coming to the end of the year as this way of becoming resilient you. What are your go-tos to keep you resilient? And with me today, I have Katisha, who is an author, a counselor, an experienced mother. And her unique perspective is that she has children in different age groups. I can somewhat relate to that as well. So I'm interested to dive into this for those of you whose kids may not be boom, boom, boom in a row. So Thank you for being here, Katisha. Please tell us more about you.
Yes, thank you so much for this opportunity. I'm super excited. I am a licensed professional counselor, author, speaker, mother, wife, and a resilient woman.
Ooh, I love the resilient woman. Mm-hmm, let's own that. Yes. So I'm curious, what does resilience mean to you?
So resilience became one of my favorite words last year when I really dived into what it meant. And I just replaced strong with resilient. I felt like calling women strong was putting more burden on them to not ask for help, to not reach out, to not appear anything other than perfect. And so to me, resilience means things happen, life's, kids are going to be kids, and then we are going to bounce back. We may take a moment to pause, but we're not going to quit.
I really do like that definition of resilience because we do focus on a more holistic approach of what resilience is here, more the idea of becoming a better person from your experience. And that means not just getting through something and surviving it. It means to thrive, to really take that experience and be wiser from the lessons that you learned or to be stronger from the lessons you learned. And not only to have that help you be better as a person, but as a mother and that example to your children of what resilience means. What in your life has made you resilient?
I think knowing that my goal and one of my dreams is to, or let me put it this way, knowing that I didn't want to have to choose between being a mom and wife or being a successful business owner. So deciding that I was going to live the life of and not or meant I had to be resilient. I had to deal with a lot of different things, but I didn't have any other choice because that was the life I wanted.
I love that difference between and or. I don't know that I've had someone use that before. I think that really shows the difference from being kind of in a fixed mindset where things are kind of black and white versus and as a growth mindset, being able to get curious about what is the solution? What are the possibilities? What is the opportunity? And not feeling limited by anything that's going on in your life. I think that's resilience really, because resilience is accepting. Sometimes there's going to be challenges. Sometimes it's going to be hard. Sometimes life is going to push you to the edge because you need to fall off that cliff to come back a new person on the other side. Yes.
So. I agree. And so that helped me a lot, though, realizing that I could live the life of and not or. I didn't have to choose. I'd have to make sacrifices. I'd have to work hard and sometimes. But even with that, it's okay to do things that are hard. It doesn't mean I have to shy away from it just because it was hard. But sometimes the life that you want, like you said, requires you to fall off of a cliff so that you can become that lady.
Yeah. Sometimes you have to almost be reborn, a new person. And sometimes people don't recognize who the new person is and they're not sure if that's what they want. So know that's part of the journey too. Who's meant to be will stay, and who's meant not to stay will fall away or have new boundaries around who they are. So you have the right to honor who you are and what your resilience is. You're unique and different, but you're also allowed to change and evolve and have that bigger dream and vision for yourself. And really from a fixed mindset to a growth mindset, that vision gets a lot bigger because you can get a lot more as possible. And I think it's important to have a vision, to have a goal, because whatever you're going through, then you can go, this is temporary, but I'm going there. This may be happening, but I'm still going there. And it gives you that ability to not give up. But I think you can also get there without burning out, without pushing too hard, without just doing whatever it takes and knuckle crawling through it. Like, it doesn't have to be that way. And a lot of that, I think, comes from the inner work. And with your experience as a counselor, can you speak to the inner work of where resilience is for mastering yourself and mastering resilience?
I love what you said about becoming a different person, because one of the things that's most important about the inner work is unlearning some things. Yeah. There's tons of things we have to unlearn. Like, it doesn't have to look this way, or being a mom doesn't have to look that way. You don't have to do these things. So unlearning is the beginning. And then, like you said, going from surviving to actually living and thriving. And sometimes people don't realize they've been in survival mode for so long.
Yeah.
And so that's normal to them. So I tell people, you have to unlearn some things, a lot of things. You have to move from survival to thriving. And then you have to dream again. But dream, you know how when you were younger, you dream without limits. There is no, I want to do this, but it's just, I want to do this. I want to be an astronaut and a princess. I want to do these things. Sometimes along the way, we forget to dream without limits. We dream within our income bracket or within our ability, and we have to allow ourselves to just dream.
Well, I think we get comfortable in what we think is safe. Yes. And we forget that the real freedom comes in living our truth. Yes. It doesn't come from staying safe or playing it small or holding back. We have to go all in with who we are and what lights us up once we know what that is. But sometimes we may not know what that is, because like you said, we have to unlearn all the other opinions, all the other ideas that have been put upon us from the time we came into this world. We come into this world, our own genius. And that seems like we spend the rest of our life trying to get back to it.
Yes. And I touched on that in the book about how early it starts. Like, even when you think about when you're pregnant, people, and I know they don't always be bad, but they say things like, hey, you know, it's no longer about you.
Mm.
And so you're already personalizing it, already internalizing that wow, I no longer matter. And that's not true.
Well, and that can't be, because how are you going to take care of someone if you don't know how to take care of yourself?
Exactly.
How are they going to learn how to take care of themselves if they don't see you taking care of yourselves?
Yep.
If they don't see you making yourself a priority, how are they going to make themselves a priority? Now, I think the thing everyone gets worried about with this subject matter is being selfish. Okay, well, here's the thing. And here's my take on that. So pride is putting yourself above or below other people instead of being equal in our humanity, in our sex, in our status. And our quote, because guess what? I have strengths and weaknesses. You have strengths and weaknesses. Absolutely. They're different. We're still human. Just different. I'm just a different flavor. I just bring something different to the table. It does not make me more or less. My value and my worth do not change because of a new circumstance. And I think that's where resilience really comes in. Yes, I'm in a new circumstance. I still get to be me.
I'm facing
this challenge. I still get to be me. Yep. I still get to choose how I show up, and I'm still within power within myself. And that's the strength we need in today's world, is this inner world of ours. It's the one thing nobody gets to take away from us, is our knowledge, where our hearts are, and the choices that we make. And that's the real, I think, secret to the success of those who are really successful, that we would look at. They're resilient.
And I'd say that's where the true freedom is. When I can move you to different situations, different environments, different roles in your life, and you can still be true to who you are. You know, being a mom doesn't mean I have to, for me, it means I can't give up who I am. Yeah. Right? Being a wife means I can't give up who I am, because like you said, people are watching you. I have two daughters and a son, so I need to show them that it's okay for mom to tend to herself, and she will come back. Like, it's necessary, so that they will know that as they grow up, because it's not something that's always taught. But if I instill that in them now, that becomes a part of their inner work, a part of their inner truth. And no matter where they are, being a mom may be something that they choose or don't choose, but either way, they get to do it in their own way. Feels right to them.
And I believe motherhood is sacred, and it should be honored that way. And we could use a lot less judgment that way on how someone's mothering. Every mother has their own instinct of what their child needs, and every child is different. The same things are not going to apply to one than the other, but they also have their agency. And to put personally on the mom the choices of the child isn't always fair, because you got to dive deeper and see. But that also doesn't mean there's any less responsibility on the parent either. We do have an important role to fulfill to our best. But what was their best at the time? What was in their heart? What was their intention? Do you know what their intention was? Do you know their background? Do you know what their triggers are or what they're dealing with? You probably don't. So I think it's important that we build more of a inclusive, supportive, cheerleading community, at least here on this podcast, to give you the tools and the strategies and the idea that you can be a resilient mother if you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
You can be what you decide is a good mother and what good mothering is. And you will see it manifest in your kids.
Yes. Yes. I love that. And I love spaces like this because they're so needed. Mm-hmm. Like you said, we're born amazing geniuses of ourselves. And then along the way, we lose that because of life and because of society. And so when we get back to that, I find that a lot of people know exactly who they want to be. They just don't always feel comfortable being it.
Yeah.
Like they may initially say, I don't know. But when you really do the work with them, they know they just need safe places like this to be able to say and then be. And once they experience it, once you experience fully being yourself, it's almost impossible to go back to like your little shell. It's almost like this is me and people can take it or they cannot.
Yeah. It's a turtle busting another shell. Just bust it right out. No crawling back in. You're out.
Yes. Yes. And more often than not, people will accept it.
Yeah.
People and be inspired by it.
Well, and the people who really support you will. The people that get it will. The people that don't need to be there.
No.
And sadly, sometimes that includes family too, because they aren't willing to do the work you've done.
Yes.
That, you've done the work. You get to reap the rewards of it. Those that don't do the work, it'll catch up with them eventually, and you can help them along as much as you want to, but they have agency. They have the choice how they're living their life. And we just have to meet people where they're at. And you can plant seeds and you can love. We can always come with love. And mothers know that more than anyone, because we've got to love those kids no matter what they do and show up and support them. Well, we can do that for everyone. Wouldn't that be a beautiful world to live in?
I agree.
What do you think is your resilient superpower?
Oh, my resilient superpower. I think that I have a superpower to reframe things using words. So when I was younger, I was a poet. And so when I got older, you know, I used words, but I didn't think about them as much as I did when I was writing poetry. But as I started shifting into this space of helping women, I really was mindful of what people said, what they did, the language they used. And so I feel like now I can help people reframe. Because if you reframe certain words, it changes your whole perspective on things. From strength, from being a strong woman to being a resilient woman, to feeling like you have to choose to live in the life of and not or, just small things like that. I feel like that allows me to have a resilient superpower.
And that's where a coach or counseling is so important, because sometimes we don't know the stories that we're telling ourselves. Yep. We don't know what our patterns are. We just know something's off. And it's not always easy to pinpoint what that is, because you can even have memories or trauma that's before you can remember it, or your brain may have shut it down to protect you from it. And and so if you're on the path and you're not, it's not clear to you, you're like, I wasn't abused as a kid, or I didn't have this or didn't have that. If your body doesn't lie, there's something there to explore and to find, to find your peace. To find your joy again. And everyone has the right to thrive and have joy in their life every day of their life. We all
every day.
We just got to be willing to do the work to find it. So I'm curious, when you're working with people, how can you tell when they're lying to themselves or when they're being honest with themselves?
I wouldn't say I necessarily know if they're lying, but I can tell sometimes if this is something that has been rehearsed. So they may not even know. It's almost like if you ask me, hey, how are you doing? I'm instinctively going to say, I'm fine. I'm fine. sometimes people get very emotional saying it. And so that's when you have to be like, okay, let's explore what's going on here. Because they may have been groomed or conditioned to always respond to certain things a certain way. Like so the one I get the most is if women come in and I'll say, how are you doing? Like, how are you? Not how are you the mother? Not how, like, how are you? And they'll say, oh, I'm good. I'm still pushing. I'm pushing through. I'll be okay as long as the kids are okay. I'll be okay as long as my husband's okay. I'll be okay as long as this. And it's always outwardly focused. And it gets very uncomfortable when you say, okay, I get all that, but how are you? And you can tell that for so long they've told themselves, as long as this outer circle is okay, I'm okay. And that's not always true.
And it's okay to say you're not okay.
Oh, absolutely. It is okay.
And I think that takes some humility and vulnerability to admit you're not okay. But if you're not okay, you're never going to show up at your best. Eventually, you're going to burn out or have a health problem or something is going to come up. And I think you're absolutely right. It's easy to get lost in motherhood or to get lost in nurturing others. It's a beautiful innate nature of a woman to want to nurture and to give, but you have to be able to give back to yourself. You can't give from an empty cup.
You
have to put your oxygen mask on first, or you're at some point not going to be able to show up because you can't breathe. Yeah. And you can prevent that by kind of knowing ahead of time going into motherhood. Maybe something different than the generation before you. And generations have gotten better. We have so many opportunities as women now.
Oh, absolutely.
But we think we have to wear all the hats. We don't have to wear all the hats, but we do have to keep intact who we are. Because eventually the kids grow up and go away and we have to let go. Eventually the relationship changes with your husband or your spouse. Mm-hmm. And it goes back to being both of you. Who are you then? Who are you as a couple?
Yeah.
How do you have a relationship with a child, but then that child becomes an adult? Mm-hmm. It's all evolving. It's all changing. And you could very easily lose yourself along the way.
Absolutely.
Don't
absolutely
tap back in and tap back in touch with her. It's important to have a hobby that's important to you and to have a spouse that honors it, that honors your goals outside of mom, outside of family. And maybe when you have lots of littles, there's a time you're a little more focused there.
Right.
I get that. I mean, you're keeping little ones alive. I mean, boys are different. I feel like sometimes I'm just here to keep them alive. And so, but 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day.
You got to start with something.
An outing, a social interaction. You don't have to feel trapped inside motherhood. That's not thriving in it. That's just survival mode.
That's just survival. And it's barely surviving.
Yeah,
it's barely surviving. I was there, though. I remember waking up one day feeling like I was suffocating. But it wasn't any, when I did the work, it wasn't anyone else to blame. It was me. I had allowed, because of what I assumed society wanted me to be as a mother and a wife. Like, that became my whole life. That became the thing, like you said, when I was lying to myself, that became the thing that I rehearsed and said over and over. This is my life. This is my life. This is my life. And the reality is, it's a part of my life. It's an amazing part of my life. But before I was those things, I was who I am. I was a person. And that's important. And so once I nurtured her, I became a better mother. Yeah. I became a better wife because I was authentically happy.
Yeah.
And so then that exudes differently than, like you said, if I'm just surviving. If I'm just surviving, I'm very overwhelmed. Like, sometimes motherhood in itself can be overwhelming, but I'm even more overwhelmed because there is no 5 minutes a day. There is no time where I am not somebody something because I'm not honoring who I am. And so she's lost in there and she's like screaming for help. And so when I finally nurtured her, it's like a light bulb went off. And I realized that I don't have to wear the same hat you wear. It doesn't have to be the same color. And I can make a decision. This was very freeing to me when I read a quote that said, you're not a tree. You can make a decision. And if it doesn't work, and if you don't like it, you make another decision. And something about that just clicked. And that added to the freedom that I had.
And that's why we're allowed to get curious as a mom. If you're not quite where you want to be, get curious.
Yes.
Try something else. Try something new. It's allowed. You don't have to be like anybody else. Mm-hmm. Your situation may not be like anybody else.
Nope.
And that's okay. That is
okay.
You're allowed to
sometimes
be.
I can't even parent my children the same because they're different.
They are so different. Yeah. I'm glad someone told me that, or I think I was doing it wrong. That's for sure. You made me think of the saying, though, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Mm-hmm. And we're here to promote happy mothers,
yes,
happy children, happy homes, yeah, in that order.
Yes. Yes. And a lot of it is because we are so full. Our capacity is full. There is no room for anything. And so we're very uptight and very at our edge. Mm-hmm. And one little marble in the jar could really cause us to explode. But when we pour from a full cup, we need our cup to be full, not our capacity.
How do you help your clients and your mothers to find that again, to find what fills them up and make room for it?
So sometimes I tell them it's not about going back to who you were before you were a mom, because sometimes even then you didn't know who you were.
Yeah, that's true.
So you didn't know. So I love what you said, and I tell them that try something new. You think you might like it? Let's try it. You always wanted to take piano lessons? Why not? You think you might like going for a walk? Try it, because that's how you're going to learn what's a good hobby for you and what's not. What feels, because you know, as a mom, we can do something that doesn't necessarily fill us up.
Yeah.
Right. So me having 10 minutes of quiet time is different than me spending a game night with my family. They feel me in different ways. So if all my time is spending time with other people, am I using that as avoidance? Because sometimes that can happen, because it's scary to figure out who you are. Like you said earlier, because what if I wake up one day and I don't know who I am? I don't know this new person. You have to get to know her. So to answer your question, I tell them just try all kind of stuff. Just like we put our kids in all these different, try all kind of stuff. And if you don't like it, try something else.
Yeah, exactly. And I think too, what used to fill you up when you were younger might be different now than what fills you up.
Absolutely.
And that's okay too. A lot of things I used to do were very time consuming. There isn't really room for them at the same capacity, but there's still room for them. And it looks different now. Yep. But they get to be mine. They get to be my moments. I still have my moments, my talents. And when I'm happy, my children gravitate towards those things that make them happy. They realize they get to explore new things. They get to try things. And it's been a pleasant surprise that we have similar interests when it comes down to it. But I didn't push them there. They landed there on their own. So it was like yesterday. I was just tickled yesterday. My kids don't know because I was being quiet, but my daughter has taken up the violin and wants to learn the cello. We haven't got the cello home quite yet. And there's the piano. Well, my daughter taught herself the piano last year and the violin's new, but they're both over at the piano with the violin trying to figure out how to do a musical piece together. I didn't push it. I didn't ask them for it. I am overly delighted by it because I love music, but they're genuinely curious and wanting to figure out how to play together. I didn't put that pressure on them. I didn't even put the idea on them.
Yes.
They came up with the idea that they want to perform together and they have a future performance at a church function next summer that they're preparing for. I had nothing to do with it. I'm just going to sit back and watch them discover themselves and something that I absolutely love. Mm-hmm. And it's so delightful. Because it's not forced. It's not fake. It's not them fulfilling my dream. I'm just letting them explore and be themselves. So if we'll do that for our kids, we also need to do that for ourselves.
We have to. We have to. And then they're going to see that, hey, when mom was, even though she was a mom, she still had time for her. And so if I choose to be a mom, that can be something I can do. I don't lose who I am.
Yes.
Exactly. I may have to be reborn. I may, you know, like you said, some things may fall off. Some things may be added, and that's okay. But I don't have to lose who I am in the core.
Exactly. And they get to take that with them. And the younger they know that, the more they can put boundaries around it too, of this is me. This is what fits in my life. And this is what does not. And I think when you're that clear and you have that kind of clarity in your life, it's a lot easier not to get distracted, not to get disappointed, and not to be overwhelmed. Because you know your lane, you know your path, you know yourself at a deep level. And you know how to master your own resilience. You know how to come back to that. yes. faster and faster, no matter what hurdles come in your way. You're just like, oh, there's another hurdle. Jump. Okay, I know how to do that.
Yep. I agree. Yeah.
What's your favorite part about being a mother?
Watching things through their eyes. So like going places, I love going to like an aquarium or something. I like water. So like seeing it through their eyes, seeing how amazing something. For example, I took my son, I had to go get a tire change the other day at Walmart. And I took my son with me. So we just walked through the toy aisle, picking up whatever, because we had time. And then we left and he said, it was amazing in there. This was amazing. And I was like, you're right. This was amazing. But even just seeing that through their eyes, I love watching stuff through the eyes of a child.
Yeah, I love that about kids. It really gives you that perspective again about being curious and excited for the world around you. And because it's all so new to them. And I think it we forget there's new things around us every day as adults.
Every day.
Get to create it. Mm-hmm. And that's the gift of motherhood, I think, in a lot of ways, at least my favorite part of it. And when I'm around littles, especially for that. Any last thoughts as we're wrapping up here?
Oh, this has been amazing. I love any time I'm in a space like this. I guess my last thought would just be, it's okay to figure out who you are. It is necessary to figure out who you are. And it doesn't take away from who you are as a mother or any other role you play in your life. It only enhances that.
Yeah. Once you master yourself, you'll master your resilience. It doesn't mean it's perfect. It just means you're thriving. Yes. And everyone should know what that feels like. And it's your birthright to thrive. Absolutely. You and your kids and your family and the future generations that we hope to touch with this podcast and with our motherhood. Thank you, audience, for being here. I believe in you. Believe in yourself. God bless. And we will see you at the next Resilient Mother podcast. If you want to work with Kanisha, you can find her where?
You can find me online anywhere under my name, or my website is youaremorethansbm.com.